Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
9 o'clock Saturday morning. Where else would you rather be than talking to Pedro Indeportes and Bish right here on 106.7 The Fan? Jason, you were on the golf course yesterday. You were doing your impression of Hao Tung Lee. How did it go for you yesterday on the golf course?
Not good. Very hot. I was very sweaty. I had to take my hat off every shot because when I leaned over the ball, the sweat was dripping down on the ball, so I would have to toss my sunglasses and toss my hat. Just not a good day. But it was a good day when I got inside the clubhouse and had a nice cold beer.
I was going to say. But it wasn't even 90 degrees yesterday. I mean, yesterday, for all the golf you've played during this spring and summer where it's been sweltering and nasty humid, yesterday wasn't even awful. Compared to that.
So, it was on the golf course, though, man.
Well, that's true. I mean, the sun's beating down on you.
You spend four and a half hours just sitting in the sun. It takes its toll, bro.
And then, of course, you got to dodge thunderstorms and everything, which seemingly are occurring every night. You have a dog like I have a dog. Does your dog follow you everywhere you go in the house?
For the most part, yeah, especially during storms.
Oh.
Actually, during storms, she'll go upstairs to our bed because she cannot stand the thunder. She gets very scared of the thunder.
That's the way Arbella is. It's unbelievable, man. I mean, I right now, for the most part, I can't go anywhere in my house. I'll tell you a quick story here. Yesterday, I took her out yesterday morning, come back. I've moved my operation down to my basement right now. And so I let her come down here, and she's all of a sudden, I'm like, man, that doesn't smell right. And lo and behold, I look down, and she has just dropped a Fred Flintstone granite-like deuce underneath of my table.
Oh.
You talk about irate. Now, granted, where I'm at under here, it's concrete floor still, mm-hmm. which is great.
Yeah, if that's a carpet, you're really salty.
If it's carpet, I am irate at that point. But you're right. During the storms, though, I mean, she is snug as a bug up against my leg like you would not believe because of the thunder. And the lightning.
We didn't get any storms.
See, we got some. We got one last night.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, we got. In fact, we got two of them last
night. I was hoping for some storms.
Yeah, I was over at Modell's in Annapolis trying to get some field hockey gear for my daughter, and all of a sudden, the sky had massive ill intentions. And of course, as soon as I come out, it's pouring. Almost had to pull over. It was raining so bad at one point. And then last night, around 11 o'clock, of course, when everybody's trying to wind down, go to sleep, and everything. Bang, here comes another one, and of course the dog just lights up at that point, wide awake. So,
Well, I don't know if you, Sean, can you hear I got a little feedback on my end, Sean, if you can try and fix that on your end. Pedro, can you hear that? Okay, that's better. I was hoping for some storms yesterday, but we didn't get any. And then, of course, I got home and I started hearing some news that someone texted me that Darius Geis was released. I'm like, what? Actually, someone texted me and goes, nice career, guys. And I had no idea what that meant. I thought he got hurt again. And then, of course, I got on the phone, got onto Google, and found out that he was released because of the arrest. And I just couldn't believe it. I mean, I had no idea that this, he was that type of person. Now, there's two sides to every story, Pedro, two sides. But charged with one count of strangulation, three counts of assault and battery. Also charged with one count of destruction. His attorney says it's ridiculous that he was arrested. I think the quote was, the failure to fully investigate allegations of events which allegedly took place months ago is inexplicable. Darius will defend these charges in court where a full vetting of the allegations will take place.
Yeah. Statement that he released to Ben Standing of The Athletic last night. When I read that, again, I mean, we obviously, you know, you deal a lot, and we talk a lot about Thomas C. Mooney and some of the incredible cases that he ends up having to defend and things of that nature. When we look into the law, you know, I guess technically by word of law, in this case, they would not have had to question him ahead of time. And obviously, court now will allow him to have the opportunity to defend himself. And look, I mean, you know, domestic violence in any form is just, you know, it's the worst.
Sure.
It's absolutely the worst. And I try to tell young men all the time, I've expressed it to both of my boys who are adults now, you just can't lay your hands on the lady. You got to walk away. No matter how hard you argue or whatever, even if it means you got to walk outside, take a few deep breaths, walk around the neighborhood, do something.
Get in the car, drive away.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, and I know that's harder. I know a lot of these things are spur of the moment, you know, whatever. But, you know, you have to do whatever you can to avoid the worst here. And the worst here is when you lay your hands on a woman, and you just cannot do that. And we hope for miracles in cases like this, where we hope these things don't happen. But unfortunately, Jason, history tells us not only do they happen, but in some cases have happened multiple times within these types of relationships. And, you know, there's no, even if he goes to court and somehow in this case now is found not guilty, there's no winner. There's no winner in that. I mean, sure, maybe someone will then give him an opportunity to continue his NFL career at that point, if indeed he is found not guilty of these
of
terrible charges.
Yeah.
But at the same time,
he's got this black cloud now.
It follows him.
Yeah, it follows him around. And apparently the incidents occurred in February, March, and April. So back-to-back-to-back months at his home here in Ashburn. And then I guess his girlfriend at the time reported to the Montgomery County Police. I guess that's where she lives. And again, you know, you read the story, and of course you believe it. I believe it, most things that I read. But then when he comes out and says the allegations are false, you know, you have to know the full story. I believe that the lawyer he retained is a guy named Peter Greenspun. And Peter Greenspun was the attorney for a guy here in Ashburn who killed his wife and tried to make it look like a suicide. I don't know if you remember that story.
Yes.
She was found in a bathtub, I believe, and he tried to make it look like a suicide. But, he was found guilty and spending the rest of his life in jail. I think he was the same attorney. But, it's, he had some character issues coming out of school. He did, and a lot of people dropped him off their board because of it. Of course, he had injury history too.
Well, and that was the biggest thing. You can find, if you really investigate, you can find, you know, under NFL scouting, you can find a quote character flaw. I mean, look at what the team obviously, had to do their due diligence on Sadiq Charles out of LSU, who they just drafted this past season, a guy that had been suspended because of his behavior within the team. But most people had simply dropped Geist because of the knee issue. Mm-hmm. And there was not a ton of discussion of other issues as it pertained to Geist in that situation. It was mainly because of his knee. And now all of a sudden we have people, as we often do in situations like this now, who come out on Twitter and say, oh, yeah, source told me that he was a piece of crap and he had all these issues and everything. Well, you know what? If you knew all this stuff and you reported all this stuff, you'd be Adam Schefter. You know, if you get this kind of information, you're Adam Schefter. You know, you're Jeff Passan. You're people like that who are constantly breaking news. And I think it's just – I think it's unfair after the fact, to say
that he had character issues.
Especially if you're not going to cite a specific source in this situation, it's easy to pile on the guy in this situation. But, you know, I mean, for the most part, it was the knee that dropped him more than anything.
Yeah. I get that.
In the draft. But now, I mean, you guys were talking about it on the Junkies this past week, in fact, even into the previous week, you know, this was a loaded running back room in terms of numbers. Mm-hmm. So now from a football standpoint, you know, this all of a sudden clears the way for a guy like Bryce Love, who we were all sitting here trying to figure out how is he going to get carries, you know, coming back from his injury issues. Well, now all of a sudden there's a path now. There's a clear path.
Wide open, yeah, yeah. Well, is it your gut reaction to believe the story on Geis?
Jason, I believe. I mean, look, I'm still maybe one of the few people in this country who believes in the principle of law where you are innocent until proven guilty. However, we have now gone to you are guilty until proven innocent in this country. But, you know, for years, victims of domestic violence have not reported these things because they fear when they get into court and into the public forum that
nobody's going to believe them.
A person, exactly. No one's going to believe them, and people are always going to believe the person with the higher profile, obviously maybe a little bit more money to hire a quality attorney in a situation like this. Mm. I simply hope that, as in all these cases, if you come forward with accusations, I hope that the accusations in this case are correct, and then we go to the court of law and allow things to play out, because there's nothing worse, as we've seen for years. We have watched people, and we see stories every day now, you know, Maya Moore most famously here of late, where we accuse people, we convict people, and then all of a sudden, 40 years later, we want to try and give the person their life back. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's the only thing that in this situation, if he's guilty, then let's find him guilty so that young lady and her family and friends who have been comforting her now, obviously in this situation, can get some justice for this. There has to be justice for a crime, and if there is no crime, there has to be justice as well. So, you know, accusations are supposed to be accusations until proven guilty, and if he did it, then I don't think there'll be many juries these days that, if the evidence dictates it, that he would be found guilty of that crime.
He'll get his day in court, like you said, but the incidents allegedly occurred February 14th, March 13th, and April 17th, and she didn't report it until July 22nd. That's when she reported it to the cops in
Montgomery
County.
Well, clearly, as in many of these cases, if you talk to victims of domestic violence cases,
they do. They're hesitant. They're very
hesitant. One time, for whatever reason, women will give us a chance more often than not one time. Mm-hmm. And for whatever reason, sometimes two, sometimes three, sometimes four, sometimes they won't walk away at all. But I would encourage you, if you are a victim of domestic violence in any way, find a family member you trust, something, and walk away. You got to get away from it, because it does you no good to participate. Now, you may love that person unconditionally, and it's fine. It's fine to love people, but you don't have to sit there and take the abuse either. Yeah. And that's the battle that domestic violence victims, you know, fight all the time within their own self. Yeah. Is how do I get out of this? And many of them feel trapped and don't walk away from it, in many cases, until it's too late, Jason, until sometimes fatal harm is done to them, or sometimes they retaliate and do fatal harm to somebody else. So she clearly, based on the accusations and the story and the timeline, had given him multiple chances to try and get this right. And clearly, if there are three, you know, obviously dated incidents of this stuff, you know, and all the work that Darius did while he was here as a player out in the public and interacting with the community and having bowling events with fans and stuff like that. I mean, he was clearly trying to establish himself in the community. But again, you know, you and I have been lucky enough to be married for a long time. And, you know, I think if you ask any person, there's never a perfect marriage. There's always sometimes a conflict. A lot of times it's verbal, it's brief, and you move on. But, you know, in these cases where it escalates to these levels, you know, the victims in many cases they don't feel empowered to do anything. And sometimes, unfortunately, it results in multiple incidents like this. And again, the court system will play it out. If he's guilty, he'll be found guilty more than likely. and that young lady and her family can get some semblance of justice, because that's all you want in this situation. If there's justice to be had, you want justice to be served in either way. And,
true.
You know, because, look, there's nothing worse. There's nothing worse for domestic violence victims than false accusations made by other people, because then that just, you know, jacks up the rate of people who don't believe you in these situations.
Yeah.
So,
well, and that's the thing. I mean, you know, like I told you, my gut reaction is to believe the story. Okay. I find it hard to believe that women would just make it up, but it has happened before. And it's happened in situations where the guy wanted to get out of the relationship. She didn't want that. And somehow that escalated. Either she attacked him and he kind of defended himself and so on and so forth. But my inclination when you read it is, okay, I believe it, you know, and
it's a lot of specific details.
Are we to believe that the Skins had no idea? I don't think they did, because, you know, if the cops found out July 22nd, I assume Ron Rivera and Washington didn't know about it, or maybe they would have done something earlier. So it's just a strange story. It really is. And we're going to have J.P. Finley on at what time did I book him?
11:20.
Hey, 11:20. And, of course, he'll have some more insight. And I was talking to him last night over text. And I told him, I said, J.P., I'm just surprised at the story, because I had thought that Geis was a high-character guy. And he told me, no, maybe not. You know, he'd heard otherwise. So I don't know. It's just very strange. And like you said, if it's true, he's – probably going to go to jail, and his NFL career could be over.
Yeah,
and probably would be over.
Yeah, if you're guilty in this situation of these mm-hmm. particular charges, we won't see him carrying a pigskin on the football field anymore. And quite frankly, nor should we. Nor should we.
So obviously this is a big story, but unlike the last time we did a show together, which I believe was in, was it in late June?
It was Belmont Stakes Day.
Okay, so that I think that was late June.
Yes.
Because I didn't do a Saturday show. I don't think I did one in July at all, because the schedules have changed. But there was nothing really to talk about. We had your boy on, who was the horse racing handicapper.
Right, anonymous man.
Yeah, we had him on for about 30 minutes. He was just picking fatties. But obviously now there's so much to get into with Geis, and you got the PGA Championship, round three starting today out there in Harding Park in San Francisco. You've got the Orioles pounding the Nats last night. I was shocked at that score. The Marlins won't lose. Horrible loss by the Mystics last night to the New York Liberty, who absolutely have no players, and they had 20 turnovers, and they still lost to them. Obviously, you got hockey. The Caps play tomorrow. I mean, there's just a lot to talk about.
We've been waiting for months mm-hmm. for this opportunity to talk about this type of stuff. And, you know, I mean, now, I mean, the Caps picture is a lot clearer now in terms of who they play, if they win, if they lose. If they lose tomorrow, they play Carolina. If they win, they play the New York Islanders. Mm-hmm. Carolina desperately wants this to be a rivalry with Washington. I'm not so sure it's the other way around. But if you're Washington and you end up drawing Carolina, I don't think there's any lack of motivation now for the Capitals in a series like that. And look, I mean, TJ Oshie in the post-game press conference on Thursday was asked, you know, about these round-robin games. And while, yes, you're always trying to play your best hockey,
yeah,
I don't seem to think they are very concerned about the end result of either one of those games against Tampa or Philadelphia. Though, ironically, the Tampa game, the most penalized team in the league, the Capitals, had no penalties. Thursday, they couldn't stay out of the penalty box.
Yeah, I think it was, what were they in the box, six times?
They were getting ready to get a power play, and Michael Kempney took a penalty. Yeah. So, no, we can't have a power play. I've got to take a penalty.
Yeah, I got to even it up. I got to even the score.
Right. So, obviously, they'll play Boston tomorrow. And look, I mean, in terms of a draw, I mean, who would you rather play, Carolina or the Islanders? I mean,
I'd probably rather play the Isles. But that's just me, just because Carolina's given them fits in the past.
Carolina's just been an awkward matchup.
But some of these teams have just, since the restart, Pittsburgh looked terrible.
Pittsburgh's gone. Bye-bye.
Yeah, they look terrible. Nashville looked terrible. The Panthers look terrible. You just have no idea how they're going to come out and play, because it's such a different situation. You would hope that the Caps look better tomorrow against Boston, and even though the seeding really doesn't matter, maybe the matchup does, but you just want them to play well going into that playoff matchup.
Yeah, so. And I think that's the key. I mean, just get your level of play up, because Thursday looked flat. And I think, you know, since tomorrow is the last round robin game going into the actual tournament, I think tomorrow there's going to be a different sense of urgency for the Capitals in this game. I think, you know, with veterans in that locker room, they know it's time now to dial in here as this tournament is getting ready to get underway. So it'll be fascinating to watch to see if they can get the level of play up. But, I mean, the great thing about – I mean, yesterday, Jason, we had Arizona-Nashville overtime. We had Toronto-Columbus Blue Jackets overtime. We had Vancouver-Minnesota overtime. All, you know, all three games, you know, you had some form of elimination on the line, but Vancouver wins the series, Arizona wins the series, and Toronto gets even with Columbus with that 4-3 victory. The Caps and Boston, by the way, it has been announced that game will be at 12 noon.
12 o'clock, tomorrow. First game tomorrow. Absolutely.
12 noon.
And
tomorrow.
You've got two games today in hockey, but it's just the round robin. So, you know, there aren't massive games. A lot of these series were already closed out yesterday, as you mentioned. And in the NBA, of course, the Wizards lose again. They've lost every game in the restart, lose to the Pellies, 118-107. Although Zion did not play, I don't believe.
That's correct. He sat it out because it was the back-to-back, second of a back-to-back for the Pelicans. But, yeah, I mean, look, for Washington, when you're shorthanded, your major piece, the one thing that has come out of this, and we got to take a break and we'll get back into some more of this, is this hour will probably be for the callers at 1-800-636-1067, because we've got a lot of guests the rest of the way. So if you want to jump in on any of these topics,
especially
please feel
guys,
free.
Because it is the topic
topic du jour
today.
Man, 1-800-636-1067. But look, Thomas Bryant has had to seize the moment here and played better. And he has. We've seen a little bit more from Rui. Bradley Beal even said they thought that Rui might be a small forward, and if he has shown us some of the things that he's going to have to do as a small forward in this league, and that's fine. Frankly, I'm just happy to watch John Wall videos on the side and watching him fly down the lane and dunk left-handed, because I'm on to next year already, because I can't wait for this group to come together next year. I don't think they're going to run right to the top of the East, but they are going to be significantly better. John Wall's put a hell of a lot of time into this rehab to get right, and I'm looking forward to seeing the results of his work.
Well, here's a question for you. All right, so obviously we have no idea what the future of COVID is. Okay, we hope it ends tomorrow, but it won't. It's going to be around. Do we know if the NBA is leaning towards starting the season later in the fall / winter, like Christmas time? And if so, if the situation's still the same, could we see the next season start in the bubble again?
I don't think it's out of the question we could see the bubble. I definitely don't think we're going to see the NBA until at least December.
Yeah.
Maybe late December at that. Look, we've got college teams now that are considering trying to figure out a bubble format on the weekends to play some games or something like that. That's at least being discussed in some places, because we've seen the success of the NHL and the NBA with this bubble type format. So for indoor sports, the bubble is going to have to be, I think, considered.
It's got to be in play, yeah. It's got to be in play.
Got to be in play if we're going to do something. You know, we're going to talk some college football and all the implications. Bill Wagner from the Capitol in Annapolis and the Baltimore Sun Media Group is going to join us about how the 24 hours that was Navy-Notre Dame-BYU. Navy went from playing Notre Dame to hosting BYU Labor Day night in primetime on ESPN, and it literally happened in 24 hours. Chris Doering is going to join us in the 11 o'clock hour, you know, and talk about the different variances here, where the SEC is going to play all-conference games and the ACC is going to allow a non-conference, and what does that mean for college football if, for some reason, we get all those games in.
And then, and the SEC announced yesterday they're going to allow two additional non-conference games.
Yep. But so, I think they've got to – look, you have to – and, you know, the problem is the ACC schedules are out, and a lot of those in-state games like Clemson, South Carolina, Georgia, Georgia Tech, they're all off the table now.
Right.
They're off the table.
Yeah.
So unless the ACC comes back and allows – some way to finagle those back into a schedule. Those are games. It's too late to put those games together now. And those were the easiest games you could do because they were in-state games. We got to take a break. 9:24 on The Fan. Pete Medhurst, Jason Bishop with you up until 12 noon right here on Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. Welcome back. Pete Medhurst, Jason Bishop with you. It's a Saturday morning. Sean Summers doing all the hard work. When you call in at 1-800-636-1067, please say good morning to him for all of his hard work keeping us on the air here. We got a lot of guests coming up between 10 and noon, talking college football, the Caps, the Reds. I almost got the whole word out. Washington football team with J.P. Finley in the 11 o'clock hour. Frances Reimers from yourfirestarter.com. She's a marketing and PR specialist. She's going to join us at 10:40 and talk about how this, you know, does it thwart some momentum? And you know, what is it about, you know, when you represent athletes, the fascinating question to me is representing athletes who are on the team of the player in this situation, because now, fortunately for them, Jason, there is no open locker room, and you don't have 15, 20 minions running in there going, what do you think of this? What do you think of this? Everything is kind of more controlled in a Zoom situation, so you've only got a few people talking each day. So from that standpoint, the players are spared some of this that they would be getting right now with training camp underway.
I was going to say that we're going to talk to Chris Doering later, I think at 11. Chris Doering, of course, former standout at the University of Florida, played in the league briefly here in Washington, was a really good receiver in college. I believe his senior year in College of Florida, he had 17 receiving touchdowns. So he just had a really good college career. Anyway, so now he works for the SEC Network, and I was talking to him yesterday, and I told him that I was listening to the radio on the way to the golf course yesterday, and on the show I was listening to, it was Rick Neuheisel and Chris Childers, Full Ride.
I listen to them every day.
Yep, and Childers said he had it on good authority that a major Group of Five school was going to have a press conference today and announce that they are not playing college football due to COVID.
I bet it's somebody in the MAC or UMass.
It could be. I don't know who it's going to be.
They can't find games. I mean, that's why BYU was so attractive to us. And we'll talk with Bill Wagner at the top of the hour how that came together. By the way, Chris Doering, in his career, you're right, in his final season, he had 17.
Yeah.
Jason, he barely played, obviously, his freshman year. But he had 31 touchdown receptions during his career at the University of Florida.
It was really good. But I don't think it's UMass because Childer said, he wouldn't say the name of the school, he said, but it's a pretty good program. All right, UMass not a pretty good program, so I think it's a higher profile school than that. And he also said that there's a chance that other schools in the conference, if not the entire conference, follows. And he said the announcement should come out today. And then when the story of Colorado State came out yesterday, now this wasn't COVID related, but Colorado State, the AD or the president said said that they are suspending all football activity due to this alleged cover up for COVID and also some racism accusations and verbal abuse.
Terrible story. Terrible story.
And again, two sides to everything. I get it. But it's out there, and Colorado State said, all right, we're shutting everything down so we can investigate. So Colorado State has shut everything down for now, but there apparently, allegedly, is another school, Group of Five, not Power Five, that is going to announce that they're going to shut it down just for COVID release or COVID reasons. So we'll see, man. College football is forever changing.
College athletics as a whole, too. I mean, they fired the women's coach at Texas Tech in basketball because she turned into an absolute tyrant. I mean, you know, you can, as Alan Stein, I got to give him credit. He's the one who tweeted it yesterday. You can have discipline without being demeaning. And if a coach doesn't evolve in 2020, you're going to get fired, and they should. I mean, that's where we are. Let's get out to the phones. 1-800-636-1067. Of course, the big story, Darius Geis in that crowded running back room for Washington, no longer in it. Accusations of domestic violence. Washington wasting no time in releasing the player yesterday. We start off with Joe in Springfield. Joe, you're on 106.7 The Fan.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
What's up, Joe?
All right, I got two things to say. One is about Darius Geis. What I've noticed as soon as the team released him, I turned to my dad when they made the announcement. I said, you know, this is definitely a new regime, because the old regime that Bruce Allen was part of, he would have said, quote unquote, okay, well, we'll work with the guy. We'll figure this out. In this new regime, Ron Rivera is not taking any of this crap. They're not going to handle a lot of this to happen. I mean, look what already happened with Trent Williams and Quentin Dunbar. I mean, they didn't do what Geis did, but they're basically sitting when Rivera said, well, prove to me you can do this. And they're like, what do you mean? they didn't want to do that. Rivera's like, fine, well, you're out of here. It's the same thing with Darius Geis. I mean, this kind of stuff is what Ron Rivera does not want to put up with. So this is definitely a new regime, new culture, as Rivera has said, and he's right. I mean, this is the third player that they've gotten rid of, because this is not the kind of people Rivera want to deal with. And the second thing is the Capitals. Tomorrow is do or die. I know that they will be able to be one of the top four seeds come playoff time, but they got to look just as good against Tampa Bay as they are tomorrow against the Bruins. They cannot – I counted – you said six. I think I counted eight penalties when they went to the penalty box, but I could be wrong, but it felt more than eight penalties. Yeah. But they cannot play like that. I know that Craig Laughlin said that the Bruins are not looking really good right now. Well, I remember something that John Madden said a long time ago. I know that football is different than hockey, but John Madden always said that the playoffs – or the second season, you start with a clean slate. The Bruins can make a run. Hopefully they don't, but I hope the Caps can make a big run too. But they got to bring their A game tomorrow, because I just want the momentum to go into the postseason. I want it. Oh, look, I'm greedy. I want the Stanley Cup. And everybody else does in this town. We need that right now. So have a good weekend. Stay safe. Talk to y'all soon.
Appreciate it, Joe. Thank you.
I would agree. Now, remind me, was Cody Latimer released?
He has not been released.
Okay, so that goes against what Joe is saying, because Cody Latimer was arrested in, I think it was May, in Colorado, charged with five counts, including second-degree assault, illegal use of a firearm, okay? And I don't believe they have released him yet. So, obviously, he's got to go through the court process. So, I wouldn't say that Rivera is completely different from Allen in that sense, because if he was, Latimer would have been gone too. Now, maybe Latimer's story is more believable. I don't know. But he hasn't done that with everyone who's been charged.
Yeah, he's obviously sitting out on the commissioner's list with a felony assault and gun charge right now. Let's go out to beautiful Wilmington, North Carolina, where they survived, of course, Tropical Storm I, as I like to call it, this past week. Let's go down there and talk to Jason. Jason, you're on 106.7 The Fan.
Hey, what's up, guys? I was going to echo what the last caller was saying more about Rivera, but I pick up, I listen to you guys sometimes, but then I can kind of pick up Charlotte's radio depending on where I'm working. And I thought it was interesting. They mentioned last night that Rivera had taken off, I guess the entire Panthers draft board had taken Geis off for injury and personal reasons. So Rivera wasn't too thrilled for him from the start. So glad to see Rivera's in charge and just kind of wipe the slate clean. So.
Yeah, that's interesting. Didn't know that. But, and again, Pete, I usually believe when the woman accuses the male. I do. I just want to know more about the story. I want more details.
Yeah, that'll come out, obviously, in court
here.
Yeah,
that's what I want.
You know, and look, I mean, again, as we discussed back in the first segment, and when you read stories of domestic violence. I mean, this is a case where the young lady clearly was giving him a chance to allegedly write the situation. And, you know, now there are accusations of multiple events here involving this situation. So, and again, it's worth noting for those of you just joining us, Darius Geis' attorney put out a statement last night that Ben Standing of The Athletic tweeted. You can see that full statement on Ben's timeline. That obviously, you know, they feel that they were not given the due process necessary in leading up to the actual arrest. Darius obviously turned himself in to Loudoun County authorities without incident. So this will now play out. This has to be adjudicated in the court of law. And, you know, obviously, you know, it first of all, it takes the courage to come forward and report domestic violence. And then obviously, you know, she will have to confront her accuser now in the court of law. And all of that is such a difficult process. And that's why sometimes these things don't make it to court. And obviously in this situation, you know, the young lady gave him multiple chances, allegedly. And now it'll be adjudicated in court. We'll see how it plays out.
I just keep thinking about, you know, the caller brings up Rivera. And I just keep thinking about, if Rivera could have predicted what was going to happen with this team in the last 6 months, if he would have taken the job. So think about it. He takes the job, and I get it. He wants to coach. That's what he does. And he's making a lot of money doing it. But he's had to deal with the name change. He's had to deal with the sexual harassment. Now he's got to deal with Darius Geis. He's had to deal with three major things – Obviously, COVID. All right, so he hadn't even seen his team play until recently on the field. So he's had to deal with all of these things, and it's got to be so hard for him and his staff because there's so many distractions. Now, they were hoping everything was behind them besides COVID. They were, all the other stuff was behind them, and they were dealing with it. But now you've got Geis. And, you know, obviously the media wants to – they want to ask questions. They want answers. But, man, if he could do it all over again, I wonder if he would have taken the Giants job.
Well, A, you don't, well, we don't know if – see, he had worked for Dave Gettleman before. And, you know, we don't know necessarily if there was any frostiness in that relationship there. And we also don't know really the details of his contract here. I mean, you don't know how much, you know, Dan, you know, has A, paid him, and B, how much authority he's truly given him. I think if you're Ron Rivera, you're looking at the long term here. I mean, this could be somewhere that you can end up. Even when you're done coaching, maybe staying here as a president of an organization or something like that because of the kind of opening that developed here, and you're just guaranteeing yourself, you know, what would be a good professional salary for a long time.
Even I'm just saying there's
even into retirement.
No one wants to deal with a name change. It was the biggest story in sports, and then the sexual harassment charges and allegations, biggest story in sports.
No, but you know what, though, Jason? Coaches coach, and the biggest example of that is when African-American coaches who are so desperate to get that first head coaching opportunity. We see it in college sports all the time. African-American coaches take some of the worst jobs out there, fail, and never are heard from again because they want to have the opportunity to be a head coach, and sometimes you have to take that bad job to do it, and that's why we have seen – at times and in some sports, the African-American head coach almost become extinct and have to be reborn again. And some of the things that we're doing right now, Mike Locksley putting together a tremendous council for African-American coaches to develop themselves and you know, get their names out there and develop and hopefully become a head coach like he has now again for a second time at the University of Maryland. Because I think after you know, his first go around where he took a terrible job and things got off kilter a little bit.
Yeah. Well, a lot of things happened there.
Right. There was no guarantee. But the fact that Mike had to take that job in the first place to try and become a head coach, he should have had the opportunity here. But that obviously is
Now he's got it.
That's something we do. But and he's producing the recruiting results that everybody said all along that he'd be able to do.
True. Well, you can recruit all you want. You got to win games. So let's see if that happens.
He's got the people. By the way, Talia Tungavailoa eligible right away for them. I think that's a difference maker for the Terps.
Yeah, because Jackson's going to opt out. Yeah, that's huge. Let's see how good he is. But anyway,
I still think Rivera would have taken the deal, but I think there may have been a little more discussion maybe between him and his wife about do we really want to do this. But
I'm sure he would have. It's just a lot of outside distractions that he never thought would happen. And I mean, can you imagine if there was no COVID and he was trying to actually coach these guys and they were coming to camp and they were, you know, that's all the media wanted to talk about. They didn't want to talk about, you know, Haskins or McCorn or any of these guys. And all they wanted to talk about is the name change and the sexual harassment and Geis. I mean, look, he's earning his money, I'll tell you that.
Yep, be a hell of a distraction right now under the regular circumstances, no question. 944, Pete and Jason with you on a Saturday morning right here on The Fan. Now 9:48 Saturday morning on The Fan. Pete on Sports, Bish with you up until noon. Note, Capitals tomorrow, Boston, 12 o'clock. You'll hear that on 94.7 The Drive coming up tomorrow afternoon now that the NHL has set that game time. So make your plans appropriately if you're going to be out and about and you want to listen to Capitals hockey tomorrow, 94.7 The Drive at 12 noon. We are blessed because of all the listeners that we do have. We have a lot of females that love to participate actively with us here on 106.7 The Fan. One of the best is Sabah down in North Carolina. Sabah, good morning. You're on 106.7 The Fan.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I really love you guys having your shows on Saturdays.
Sabah.
Appointment Radio.
What's up? What part of Carolina are you in again?
Raleigh area.
I love it down there.
Raleigh area. Tar Heel grad, born and bred. North Carolinian. So
I've been telling my wife for the last, I don't know, 6 months, 12 months, that eventually I want to look for, maybe, you know, it could be 10 years down the road, but whenever we decide to retire, when our girls are out of college, I definitely want to go look in that area.
Yeah, well, you know, the Cary, which is right outside of Raleigh, they call that the containment area of relocated Yankees. So all of them are down here, and that's why we now have a pay toll road. We've never had pay tolls before.
Right. It's getting
so they bring
down there,
the bad stuff with them.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great place to live. We enjoy it. So anyhow, about the Ron Rivera thing, whether he should, is he regretting it? I think opposite. I think he is in a no-lose situation, win only. So you're finally here with an owner who bullies everybody, okay? You're the one guy he can't bully because he's ran out of all friends. He has no friends. The owners want him to sell the team, you know, for that sexual harassment stuff, which, of course, doesn't carry as much weight as racism, obviously. But when you abuse women, you still get second, third, fourth, fifth chance. We have to know all the story. But so he's on his last little straw, the owner is. And I don't think he's in a position to where he can sort of cross Ron, if you know what I mean. So if he succeeds, Ron is like Jesus. If he fails, it's, oh, well, even Joe Gibbs couldn't really succeed second time around with this guy. So I think it's a no-lose situation for Ron, and I'm glad he got rid of Geist.
It might be a no-lose. I just, like Pete said, coaches like to coach. They don't like to deal with all these outside, you know, stories, and especially off-the-field stuff. So I don't know. It's just my inclination. Just I think it's human nature to not want to deal with the controversies. But you're right. He probably has a lot more power than anybody else.
His expectations are low. Yeah.
Well, he's still going to have to win. I mean, if Haskins goes out there and sucks, and then he's got to reconfigure the quarterback position in the next couple of years.
Well, here's the thing.
He still has to win at some point.
No, I get you. But my thing is, I will feel much more confident. Like, I'll know it's really his team if he feels that Haskins isn't the guy and lets him go. Then I know Snyder's not all in. I said my biggest reason for not liking Haskins, really, is only because he's Snyder's guy. I want to get rid of all friends of Dan because they seem to be treated differently than other players. So that's my biggest thing. It's not that I don't like Haskins. You know, if he's great, yeah, but I don't want to sit here and be, if he's bad, well, the virus, we couldn't do the playbook. Well, it's Ron's offense. Well, it's Turner. It's always going to be somebody else's fault. He doesn't have receivers. Who's his tight end? He doesn't have a line. I can hear it now. If he does a bad season, he'll be here again next year, trying again and then trying again until everybody's gone. So I just want to know, is he going to be able to cut his losses with Haskins if he feels like he's not the guy? Because it's been 20 years, guys, we haven't had the guy. Every time we think we have the guy, they're not the guy. So why is Haskins the guy?
Yeah, I believe there's a short leash. But let's be fair. I mean, it's been a tough year for quarterbacks, especially young quarterbacks, because they've not been able to practice with their teams until, you know, about a week ago. So let's just give him a chance. If he doesn't work out, then they're going to have to move on. I agree. It's short leash with Haskins.
I hope so. And one more quick comment, if I can. You know, Mike Florio is real big on, the Native Americans being abused by our Redskin name. Mm-hmm. And he's so in for those people and just, you know, the how hard that we've treated them for 83 years or whatever existence we've been. But I was kind of curious that he's all in on Alex Smith playing if he's healthy. You know how much I love my Redskins? I was watching my Redskins game during my wedding day. They were playing Tampa Bay during pictures, and they had my little portable TV. When I had my son, I made them move my room to a room that was playing the Redskins game because I didn't want to miss them. And they were playing Tampa Bay, by the way, that 5 years later. And I, if it means we win a Super Bowl, if Alex Smith plays, I don't want it. We can't risk him and his life. We can't risk it. And I think it's hypocritical for Florio and all these outside media types to say, oh, yeah, he should play if he's healthy. He should never play.
Sabaz, always appreciate the call. Excellent points.
Thanks,
as always. And, look, here's the thing. I mean, Tom Lavera on Chad Duke said if Alex Smith is right and does everything in camp and he's healthy, he's the starter. That is complete and utter BS. The only way Alex Smith plays, Jason, is if Dwayne Haskins makes it so he has to play, in my opinion. Unless Dwayne just absolutely pees down his leg, which, by the way, I do not think will happen. I think Dwayne is ready to take a significant step forward here because there's no chaos. We're just playing football right now. Based on what we've learned, there was so much chaos going on here, it was impossible for Dwayne or anybody else to learn the quarterback position and be successful under this previous regime. He's got a chance to take a big step forward. The coach has even come out and said he's done everything that we've asked him to do and more. The only way that Alex Smith plays meaningful football on this team is if Dwayne Haskins' performance makes it so. And I don't think that's going to happen. I think Dwayne's going to get the job done. I think he's going to make the progress that they're looking for in year one under this new regime. There's just too much talent within the player, in my opinion, for that to happen. I really do.
I'm with you. I find it hard to believe that Alex Smith can go out there and play a full NFL football game with contact. I find it hard to believe. Rooting for him, but
absolutely. I mean, I can't imagine
he's going to pass whatever physical football exam they're going to give him.
Look, man, if the only time we see him on the field is Week 17 and he gets the kneel down in the final game of the year, if that's it, or you want to give him a series in a mop-up situation so he can go out there and actually be back on the football field and see if he can actually play football, by all means, the player has put himself in that position by unbelievable rehab. And everybody involved in this medical process with Alex Smith should be put in some sort of medical hall of fame, because what they've done for this man, where at one point they were concerned he was going to lose the leg, to where he could potentially put a football uniform on and actually go back out on the football field and do football things, these people should be in the Hall of Fame for what they've done. And he should be in the humanitarian Hall of Fame for being able to get back from it, just showing that kind of courage. But the only way he plays meaningful football, in my opinion, is if Dwayne's performance makes it have to happen. And I don't think it's going to happen. I don't. I just believe in the player.
Okay.
So we'll see. Yeah. We'll see.
Coming up,
a lot of guests next hour. In fact, in all three segments, 10:40, we're going to talk to Francis Reimers about what something like this does to the momentum of trying to remarket the football team. As you know, we saw all the paint this week being redone at FedEx Field and the removal of the former logo and things of that nature. Joe B talks to us at 10:20 as we talk Caps Bruins and obviously trying to gain some momentum going into the Stanley Cup tournament. Caps and Bruins on 94.7 The Drive tomorrow at noon. Coming up right after the top of the hour, Navy lost Notre Dame. They had BYU in a national TV primetime spot in less than 24 hours. How did it all come together? We'll talk with Bill Wagner of the Capital Gazette Newspapers in Annapolis. It's Pete Medhurst, Jason Bishop with you Saturday morning until noon right here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.